I want to tap into what Jody shared last week. If you didn't get that message, listen to it. It's really powerful. I'm going to begin with Genesis, the fourth chapter, verses 6 through 7 says this. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." So from the very beginning, we get this picture right away that God, who created all of us and had these incredible plans for us, you know, it says that his thoughts towards us are more than the sand of the sea. And that he knew us before we were formed. He knew us before the foundation of the world. So he's you know, God is an incredible God. I mean, just absolutely amazing how much. And think about how many thoughts he's had over all of us in the last 4,000 years or more or whatever. And then when you find out the truth about God, that everything he does is perfect and is loving and is kind and is good. And he doesn't bring suffering on us to teach us. He'll teach us through suffering, but he doesn't bring it on us. You know, just like the young man I was talking to a while back when had cerebral palsy or something. I can't remember now. And he just said when the Lord appeared to him when he's about 21, he says, "I did not create you this way. You were born with this, but I did not create you this way. This is the work of the enemy." And then his body was healed, and he came out of that. And so that's important to remember that God is always for us. He's always for us. And I was just talking to Barb, and her husband went home Tuesday. And so Robert went home. Barb, tell me again one of the best descriptions of him in your relationship with him.
He was just so loving and kind and patient.
He was, wasn't he?
He was very patient, and he was my best friend.
There it is right there. Best friend. Best friend. What a statement. Don't really have too many best friends in your whole life, or friends even, that you can just absolutely be free with. They can absolutely communicate with whenever you want to. You don't feel the condemnation. You don't feel the... you can just openly share with them. And from the beginning, God wanted to be God to us, everything to us, and that is also being a best friend. I want to just... Listen, you cannot underestimate the value and the power of having the right perspective. It's kind of like, actually, your perspective is what really is faith. It's what you're persuaded about by what you heard. And several of the pastors, Andrew included, and Bobby Annie said that they've watched more news in the last few years than they have the whole rest of their life. And part of it, Andrew just said, "Man, I'm just watching because," he says, "I just think it's some really great things taking place. I've seen things going on better now than ever before, and I want to see it." But he said, "The Lord's been ministering to me. You better pull off of that. Keep your perspective in the Word of God." And as I thought about that, it's so powerful, it's so true. You know, no matter who you are, you'll never beat what you hear. You'll never be able to be strong enough to overcome what you hear. It's like the person who is yielded to alcohol, drugs, or whatever else, and they made a choice to have some fun, and then all of a sudden now it has them. They don't have it. It has them, and they do a horrible thing. You know, it's like, "I'm sorry, but I was intoxicated." Well, you weren't in your sane mind when you're intoxicated, and so the thing that you did, yeah, you were out of your mind. But the thing is, when you were in your mind, you made a decision to yield to it. And you and I get the decision all the time to yield what we're going to listen to. Once we listen to it, we're going to be intoxicated with it, literally, and it's going to control us. So the time to make the decision is, I got to guard what I listen to, and how much I listen to it, and it's going to affect my perspective and everything about my life. So this is what God is saying from the very beginning. He's telling, right off the bat, he's just telling Cain, "Listen, you didn't do right here. But if you do right, your countenance will come back. But sin is crouching at your door." And so as Jody was sharing last Sunday, and you know, and she did the little illustration of taking an arrow. And I, ma'am, because of some movies and just my visual, my memory, my imagination. Man, I saw that arrow pierce, and then she said, you know, a lot of us just break it off, and there's, and I could just, that just kept coming to my vision. I snap that arrow off and go on. But the problem with that is that tip is still in you. Now, we have an enemy. And he came to Adam and Eve in the very beginning and deceived them. And it said, the Bible said that when Satan fell, a third of the angels fell with him. Now, I don't know how many of that is, but I can tell you there are gazillions of angels. There are, the Bible refers to it in mirror. It's like there are, and there's two-thirds of them are good and one-third. So there's twice as many good angels as there are demons, but there are a lot of demons. And there is Satan. And he is fallen, and he has a death sentence on him. There's no repentance for him. He does not have the fruit of the Spirit, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. He has no self-control. In other words, he cannot slow down. He cannot back up. He is just dead set going to kill, steal, and destroy. And he, you know, don't forget how beautiful he was. Don't forget how phenomenal he was, how he was created. And, you know, there's a lot of mysteries in this. I don't have all the answers. But all I can tell you this is when you have an enemy that's really after you and doing a good job, they study you. They study you. I don't know. I in this age when everything is exposed, I still don't understand why we got spies. You can get anything you want on the internet. But, you know, there's a lot of reports of how they're trying to get all the information they can off internet, all your bank account, all your habits, everything is being recorded. And that, you know, and part of it is just to advertise things to you and get you to buy stuff. But part of it is going to China, going to different places, to evil people that are studying you. But I'm saying we have an enemy that studies you. He's consumed with that. He has nothing else to do in life. He has no other hope or whatever else. And he is designing poisonous darts specifically for you. It is not a random thing. It is not just dip it in there and send it to you. The darts, the arrows that are flying towards you are ones to take you out, knowing your intimate thoughts and your weaknesses and your strengths. And when he tempted Jesus, he knew exactly what he wanted to tempt him in. He wasn't saying, hey, there's a good-looking woman over here, Jesus. I don't think that was, it wasn't designed for him. He was dealing with Jesus down the lines that he knew would be a temptation for Jesus. Jesus came to save us, and he said, I'll give you the kingdoms. That was a temptation. So I want to just cause us to be aware that not to freak out, not to go walk out of here panicking. But don't just think that you're walking out here with the enemy not paying attention to you, not wanting to take you out. Well, you might say, that's why I don't get up and get so bold, because I don't want to be his target. Here is you're targeted anyway. He has no self-control. It doesn't matter how bold you get. He will come to steal the word. He always comes to steal the word. When you get one, he's actually after the word, not you. But maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just thinking we have an enemy, and he knows specifically how to target you and what poison will get to your heart. And we all have weaknesses, amen? And what does Jesus say to us? He wants you. He tells us the truth. He wants you. Sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. And he's had thousands of years of practice in this. I think he's really pretty good at it, to be honest. I'll give him that much credit. But Jesus says, you must master him. You, which means if Jesus said we can do it, we can do it. If he says, I got the promised land for you, then we can do it. What Jody was just sharing, just right down the line what the Holy Spirit is saying. These arrows are meticulously designed for your heart. You're being hunted. You're being studied. You're being dissected by him nonstop. He's watching and listening to everything you say. And every time that he sees a weakness, he knows what arrow to pull out of his quiver and shoot into your heart. So when you break the arrow off, you got to remember this. I got to go in. I got to have God go in. And we got to pull that poison start out. We got to pull the poison out, because that poison is just slowly, slowly oozing into us to take us out. Even if we broke the arrow off and think we're free and not wounded anymore. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll never know what he's planted inside our heart that is slowing us. Think with me for a moment. I'm so plain Jane. I'm so amazed at some people's talent. I just can't see how they do. Abilities to sing, write music, write these books, do these things that they do. I'm just flabbergasted. How do you think that fast? How did Charlie Kirk do that? How does Elizabeth do all? I'm just amazed. Man, we heard some young guys. We heard some sons, son of one of the pastors that we started this whole thing with. And man, he blew my mind. And he was just quoting scripture and going on. And you're going to hear some of what he shared, because I'm going to bring it out. And then I was walking up the aisle after he got done. And Andrew was walking up. And Andrew looked at me and goes, man, I got to memorize some more scripture better. I mean, he was touched by this, you know. And he was just a little kid when I first met him. And I was blown away. I'm just thinking, how do you do all that thing? Let me just say this. Our God is so powerful, so awesome, so wonderful, and created us in his own image. We have no idea the potential we have, each and every one of us, me included. And I think, I wonder what percentage are we hitting of his plans or purposes for our life and all that. And to be real honest, I'd have to say, you know, with all the things that God is and what he can do and looking at creation and all that, I go, we can't be barely touching anything of what he really has for us. When he said, I'm going to make you awesome, I'm going to make you a royal priesthood, I'm going to make you guys are going to be just like me, you're going to be creative, you're going to be powerful, I've given you my name, I've given you my mind, we've got everything. And I don't want to, overlabor it, but I don't think we're tapping into much. And I thought, if I had 1% of what his plans for me in my lifetime were, you know, just because he's got the plans for us doesn't mean we hit the mark, does it? If I had 1% and if I doubled it, if you doubled the good stuff that you do in your life, it'd be significant. People say, wow, look at that. It would be noticeable. And so if we doubled 1%, we went to 2, we're still 98% short. I don't think we could ever, the Bible just says that it'll take eternity for you to figure out all the good things he's got for you and all that. But I believe, anybody that's walked with God, by the time they die, C.S. Lewis, all those guys said, man, he has promised us and made us to live in palaces, and we're out in the parking lot making mud pies at the best. So I know we're not going to get to 100%. What if we got a little bit better? What if you and I in the next decade or two we flourish and we actually double the goodness and the creativityness and the fun and the joy? How would you like to have double the joy you've had, hit that up to this point, or quadruple? Some of you are saying, "Oh, come on, let's go up. How about 10 times the joy?" Who would you be lucky to have 10 times the joy? And I was just thinking, but why don't we do it? Because these arrows that have hit our heart and put a poison in there of doubt and mistrust and disbelief are keeping us from entering the promised land. We too, like Jody was sharing, you can make fun of those people, but boy, after a while you realize, man, I'm no farther ahead. I'll return back to Egypt so many times. Return back to a vice. Return back to an old habit. Return back to a wound. I'm astounded how many of us, as we talk, are still living out of a wound that happened 50 years ago. Yeah, well, I was just brought up, How many of you ever heard somebody say, back when I was a kid, this happened to me, and so I'm still not going anywhere. Isn't that sad? That Satan's has thrown a dart into your heart, a lie, a bad experience. You know, one thing impressed me about this lady is, man, if you're 14, you're pregnant, you start getting into drugs, you start having six kids. By the time you're 30, you're trying to figure, you have no hope. She said, I had no hope. I had no nothing. I had nothing in life. I just wanted to end it. And then she comes to know the Lord, and now she's just sailing. And I'm sure she's got struggles, but I'm telling you, she's sailing. You know, she has every right to say, man, you know what I went through? You know what it's like to get... And I just want to say, when Jesus said you can master it, he meant you can master it. So any error or offense that you and I have ever taken in our life, any bad experience that we've ever had, we can master it. We can, the PTSD, if you want to call it that, whatever else, we can beat it. We can pull that poison out of our heart and not have it affect the rest of our life. We can have something brand new. It's possible. It's a real tough battle, but it can be won. We're going into a promised land, as already the Holy Spirit's been saying today. And yeah, there are giants in the land, but there is also fruit in the land. And it's like, yes! But the tendency is going to be for the majority of people saying, no, I don't think we ought to do it. It's too risky. 2 Corinthians 2 says this, but one whom you forgive, boy, I pulled that right out of context today. But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. Okay, here's the deal. There's a young man that got really messed up in the Corinth church, and Paul wrote him and said, you got to deal with this. He's in sin, and you got to deal with this. And so they did, and now he's writing him and saying, listen, the guy repented. Put your arm around him and hug him. Bring him back into the fold. You know, he made a mistake, but he's, you know, he said, if you've forgiven him for indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, here I'm going to pick up right here. I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. When you and I have unforgiveness, or we have an offense that we have not let go of, all of you heard the story about monkeys sticking their hand in a jar and grabbing a stick, and it's called the stick of offense, and then they come and beat the monkey to death because he won't let go of the stick. All he's got to do is let go of the stick, and he can pull his hand out. It's just a beautiful illustration. And Paul's saying, listen, forgive and get this thing straightened out and get it cleared out. He made a mistake. He did wrong. You confronted him. He's repented. And now, but we know the schemes. And the point here is, you and I can, you know, our enemy is not stupid. He's stupid because he would have never crucified Christ and all that. But he is very accurate at what he does. He knows how to penetrate your heart. And he knows what arrows to throw at you. And he knows what the arrows throw at me. But we are not ignorant of his schemes. And so that means when Jesus said it, because the Word was with God and was God, he said, you can master it. Boy, those are good words. You can master it. Hear those words in your mind all the time. You can master it. Well, what about those guys? I'm not like those guys. You know, Andrew, I got to tell you, they're living, we're just here miracle after miracle. But I will tell you, all the leaders that Lisa and I have met over these last 30 years or so have had their battles. You're not alone. It's not like they're sailing through. Andrew's wife just came home a while back, I don't know how long, last year or so, and she says, Andrew, I'm just really fatigued. And she sat down on a bench right when she came into her house and laid down, and she was gone. Her eyes rolled back in her head, and she was gone. And Andrew grabbed her and held her head and said, Jamie, come back to me. Jamie, come back to me. And she finally opened up her eyes, and that's the... They took her to the hospital. She was really, her blood count, I think they said it was down 30% or whatever else. They gave her transfusions. And they never found out what happened. Never could come find out what happened. So, she lost a lot of blood. She died. She left. Came back and they never could figure out why. So God did a miracle. I'm just saying, don't think that you're the only one having a battle. Don't think that if you're a person of faith that you wouldn't have this battle. Greg Moore is one of the, we've been listening to his teachings on faith. He wasn't there at the meeting. He had 3 bypass heart surgery. He's seen his own child that should have died from cancer. Ray, he's his own life. I'm just saying, these arrows are getting shot at everybody. Don't think you're alone, and don't think, oh, poor me, or if I was strong enough, I wouldn't be getting this. Man, if you're strong, you're going to get arrows. You got more coming towards you. But you can master them all. That's the word. That's a good word. What are you and I going to listen to in the next decade or the next few years of our life? Are we going to hear, I'm just getting old. You know, my knee is really hurting me right now. It just plain hurts me. But I'm talking to it. And I'm talking to it. Man, I've been faithful down this line. Elise and I, we've seen a lot of things. We've recovered from a lot of things. But it ain't over yet. And just because you're 70 doesn't change anything in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I get a little bit of a spunk inside of you, you know? That explosion when somebody cuts in front of you that makes you want to blow their car up. Use that. But don't blow the car up. Blow the devil up. Get your heart healed. Get some anger. Be angry, the Bible says. Be angry, but don't sin. Be angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Keep your anger through the night. Because your enemy is keeping his towards you. But we can win. And look at the potential that we could have if we get this poison out of our heart that's keeping us from being who he created us to be. For the sake of so many people. Deuteronomy 6 says this. This is the Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. This scripture was used this week, and man, it just burned into my heart. You know, when you get that word that hits your heart, the good word, and you go, that's truth. I've been at this mountain long enough. This was a good mountain for the children of Israel. This is where the Ten Commandments were released. This is where Moses went up and down and talking to God. And Moses saying, we've been here long enough. It's time to move on to another mountain. And I just believe that's a real word for every one of us in this room. We've been at this mountain long enough. Thank God for all the things that God has done right here in our midst. Thank God for who we are and what we've learned. And thank God that we're saved. And thank God that our families, but we've been at this mountain long enough. It's time to go forward. We have not reached our potential. And the world says, well, you hit your potential by the time you're about 60, 70, whatever. Actually, they say the best years of your life are 60 to 70. Most prediction of your life. But I'm just saying, the kingdom of God doesn't stop increasing. What are we persuaded about? Are we persuaded that, you just slow down when you get older? Or are we persuaded that, no, the Spirit of God, and my body is decaying, but my spirit man is stronger. It's renewing my mind. What am I going to be persuaded about in the next few years? Am I going to believe the whole system, the worldly system, the elementary principles of the... You say, well, yeah, everybody knows, though, that you just slow down. Everybody knows that it gets, Yeah, but that's the elementary principles of the world that we're supposed to walk away from and say, no, we're in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God never stops increasing. Or have we got shot with an arrow that's persuaded us that our best years are behind us and not in front of us? It comes down to, what do you want to believe? You know what really bothers me about all this? It's so often that the arrow, the tip, the point, the poison that was dropped in us was, yeah, but I don't want to look stupid. They talked about it, but in my life, I go, the fear of man has just stolen so much from my life. The fear of worrying when I was in high school about what other kids thought stole so much of my life. I could have had so much more fun and joy if I hadn't been worried about what Susie thought of me. I don't think I had a Susie in my life. But sorry, Susie. I thought I picked a name that wouldn't mail well. Do you still like me, Susie? I'm still worried about what people think. Ephesians 6 says this, in addition to all, that statement right there is big. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. And faith is, again, your persuasion. What have you been hearing enough to be persuaded about? So take up the shield of faith of what you're persuaded about because of what you've been listening to, with which you will be able to extinguish all, say all, the flaming arrows of the evil one. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me, that in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel. Stephen died as a martyr, and we got a martyrs today, but there's also times when they were ready to take Peter and take him out, and the church prayed. And the earth quaked, and the angels came in, and the prison doors opened up, and he walked out. You know what? I've had people say, well, I wonder why that doesn't happen more nowadays. I was actually taught, maybe you were too with your flow of what you grew up in church. But I remember going to Bible college, and there were professors that were teaching, God does these miracles in certain times and places. And then they shut down. And the miracles that he did with the apostles, they're gone now. We don't have those anymore. And for some reason, it sounded logical until I read the Word. And said, he doesn't ever change. And that Jesus couldn't do any mighty miracles because of the doubt and disbelief of the people in his hometown. And you start realizing, why aren't we seeing more? If this is God's will, why? Because we are not taking the counsel from God and resisting the evil one. We're not taking our rightful place. It's not him. I wonder what God's doing now. He's not doing anything different than he's ever done. He's just given everything to us and said, come on, guys, go for it. Man, I've watched these parents. I am doing better. I am not the parent or grandparent anymore on the side of the field yelling at everybody. Like I used to. It's still in there. I just keep the door shut. If I open the door, all of it comes out. So I don't open the door. And so what I've had to do is pick up another occupation. And mine is now watching other parents. And man, I actually went to the other side of the field on this one. But just yesterday, there was a parent on the other side where Elisa was just going crazy. Yelling and screaming at the ref, the little ref, you know, and all that. I don't want to be just a ranter and a raver and an upset person and judgmental of everybody and criticizing it. Do you realize what Satan's trying to do? The spirit of the Antichrist right now is just trying to get everybody mad at everybody. And so when you get all wound up, where are those evil people there? You took an arrow. That rant, I'm so fed up with those people, whatever. That you took an oil. That's poison in your system. Trying to take you from being who you are. Is there evil in the world? Yeah. Is it going to be here forever? Yes. Is it going to change? Not much. But we can overcome our territory by love, by power, by faith, by speaking the name of Jesus, by praying for one another, Man, when we pray, I mean, I tell you, it's always been in me. Psalms 91's always been in. It's getting strong. I mean, I'm spending more and more time. Several times on this trip, I put my phone off and just start saying, I believe in Jesus protecting all our people as they travel. You know, and it's like, it's not like everybody, you know, Audrey's just sharing about another wreck just recently of a whole bunch of young athletes just rolled their vehicle and all busted up. Well, how'd that happen? I don't know. All I'm saying is I'm going to declare out of my mouth Jesus' name over you and over myself. And I even said, oh, you can check it out on Gospel Truth Network. I'm not volunteering to be a martyr. There's a lot said about martyrdom, and what they said is totally what I agree with. Back in 1973, I'm sitting on the street down here, and I just watched a video of David Wilkerson and his vision of the end times. Anybody remember that? And I thought, man, and I said, Lord, I went to my car and wept. I said, I don't really want to die, but I'll be a martyr for you. And the Lord said, as the years went by, He said, your martyrdom has already taken place when you got born again. Would you be a martyr? The answer is, I already am. I have died. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. By the way, you can shoot a lot of arrows in a dead body and it doesn't do much. You can be free from the poisonous arrows of past offenses, past hurts, past experiences. You can be free. Diseases, anything. Is it guaranteed? Well, it is guaranteed, but you're going to have to fight like crazy. Well, what if I fail? I mean, was the fear of the Israelites logical? If we go into this promised land, these guys may hurt us. Let's go back to the onions and the leeks and just get beat up. At least we know what. I mean, it's not logical. Why not pick a battle that you could win instead of just going back to a loss? One guy, pretty cool guy, he said this. Billy Epperhart said this, every great thing God does starts. Isn't that great? Every great thing God does starts with an ending. Just proposing to you, maybe it's time to end some things. Maybe it's time to pull, not just break the arrow off, but pull the tip out, suck all the poison out, and say, that's the end of that. I've been at this mountain long enough. My identification of being a loser, I've held it long enough. My identification, my view of myself, of not, my worry about what people think of me, my fears, my identification with a disease or with this or with that or with my family heritage. If you want a new beginning, you're going to have to end some things and say, I'm no longer that person that was hurt. I'm no longer that person that's still holding on to those old philosophies. How many of you ever just said, man, it's really hard for me. I was raised this way. And to be positive now and to be aggressive and be forgiving is just not my nature. Well, then die. Don't play with it. Just die. Just get out of the way. I know it sounds kind of like a pump-up sermon, but I really believe it. We can succeed and touch the whole world. And I say this in reverence and respect and holiness of my Quaker background. Be meaner than a junkyard dog and get over some things and move on. Thank you, Jesus. I speak Jesus over all of us. I curse the fear of men. I pull the sword of the Spirit out, which is the Word of God in my mouth. And I said, it's time for this to be severed and death to come to the wounds and the offenses of my past life. My past is past. And everyone in here, their past is past. It's time for that thing to be buried and put away. Good or bad, we've been at this mountain long enough. It's time to go forward. Give us ears to hear and a heart to understand, God. We're pursuing you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And he has, and he will, and he will continue.